We are live.
Live from Zach's basement. Fresh. Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Fresh Pinball Podcast. I was told that it's been 3 weeks since we recorded. I felt like it was only 2 weeks, but apparently it's been three, so we'll get this out here for everyone's listening pleasure. As I go around the table here to my left, we have Kyle on the board. DJ Kyle, how we doing?
I'm doing flipping fantastic this evening. Finally in a nice, cool basement.
Man, Ohio, like the last 3 days, has been like 95 degrees, humid.
Heat wave.
Hot.
And mind you, I work inside.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my God.
I don't do well with the heat.
It's fine if I'm just outside. You know, that's fine. But when I go inside, then back outside, then inside, that's what gets me.
It's not fun.
Material deliveries suck.
Corbin across from me here at the table. Corbin?
Doing good.
How are we feeling?
Feeling good.
Feeling great?
Yeah. Zach? Got my headphones working.
Flipping fantastic.
I was hoping you were flipping fantastic.
Always, man.
Sorry, I stole it from you.
You did, Kyle.
I love it.
It's okay, because everyone should be flipping fantastic.
All right. Well, let's kick off this episode with the fact check. So, as I was preparing my notes for this episode, I was listening back to the end of a previous episode, and my son, Norin, heard us talking about Magic School Bus. And he's like, oh, yeah, there was definitely a Magic School Bus episode about pinball. I'm like, what are you talking about?
He remembered it.
And he's
That's
14.
Cool that he
so,
remembered
like, he's
it.
Remembering it from, like, 7 years ago or
right,
whatever.
Right, not 35 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. So, of course, I go to the Google machine, I look it up, and lo and behold, there is a pinball episode. So for all of you out there wondering, Season 3... Episode 7 of the PBS Classic.
I don't know if I've watched. Have you watched it? Did you watch it?
I've not seen this episode of the Magic School Bus, but
we have
now
to fire it up here on the TV.
Let's go ahead and pause. We're going to pause the podcast. We'll
be back in 28 minutes.
20 minutes later.
So check it out. The little synopsis that I saw on Wikipedia was it is a color based episode, you know, like the colors of the rainbow sort of situation. So. Check it out.
Safe to assume they're probably playing Wizard of Oz.
I was thinking Faces.
We're working on Faces.
That one's a good one.
Yeah.
So we had an email basically saying that we as a podcast bash Data East games. And I want to say for the record, Corbin and I bash Data East games. But Kyle is usually defending Data East games.
He does.
It's Stern, man. Come on.
It's
without Data East,
it's a version.
You know how I
just
feel like Stern, too.
It's pinball.
Pinball would have not survived without
Data East. I'm not disagreeing.
Whether you like their games or not.
We own a couple Data East now. I own a couple more.
We own a few. What?
Would you buy now?
Yeah, what do you have?
You have Family Opera.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have
Star Wars.
Okay.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Simpsons.
Phantom of the Opera. Did we say that?
Yeah.
We did. We have two Data East Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a lot of love.
All right. Well, here's the challenge then. I'm going to go around the table. I'll start with myself.
Tommy.
And name your favorite Data East game. Favorite, not necessarily because it's the best game of the Data East, but the one that you're walking down a row and you're like, you see that game, you're like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to play that. So for me, it's a lower production one, and it's Monday Night Football.
Ooh, yeah.
Not a great game.
Yeah, Rob's got that one out.
That game.
Yeah, the one out at Pastimes, and looks like Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that one's cool.
Yeah, it's cool re-theme, yeah. Whatever. But.
This explicit episode of the Fresh Pinball Podcast is brought to you in part by
Angeli
Stark Novel.
I feel like, the Monday Night Footballs, I've had so many home calls on these. And they are always train wrecks, all of them.
Well, they've probably never been serviced.
No, never.
Whatever, it's just been sitting somewhere.
I just love the jump ramp that puts you through the goalposts.
The special solenoid section burst out on them.
Really?
Mm. It's the same as, like, you know, System 11.
And I don't think I've ever run into one where there wasn't a ton of play field wear down by the flippers. Yeah. Like, that's just always ripped.
That's not my favorite game.
Well, so that's my favorite. That's my one whenever I see it. They used to have one at the Pins Mechanical at Easton, and it was like not by the other pinball machines. It was just like tucked away in a corner.
Yeah.
It was like 50 cents a game, and I would like mosey over there.
It was right by the nasty bathroom.
It was by the nasty bathroom.
Yeah, I bet it was.
All right, Kyle.
It was actually in the nasty
bathroom. Favorite? Yeah,
it was actually in a stall with the shitter and everything.
You could play while you're going
to take a handicap. That would be too bad, dude.
I have a guess of what yours is. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Is it Hook?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that's Mary Beth's.
Bang, all right. I was going to say Family Opera, purely based on art.
You did have a
because
phantom.
It's such a pretty game.
It is.
It's not the funnest game, but it's very pretty.
It's brutal, though.
Yeah.
That one we played, that guy's, he did inspire me to almost unfold mine and do some with it.
That one has extensive touch-ups on the play field.
The one I have.
Our play field melted in the one area because someone put way too big a light bulb in the one of the inserts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were all like that on like the candle. Like the candle opera on the
On the one side.
Yeah, on the play field.
Yeah.
The right side. But actually, I think I'm gonna go crazy left field and go Torpedo Alley.
Ooh, that was an early game for you. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I didn't own it, but it's great.
What was the one that you did own that was the
Secret
early
Service?
One? Secret Service.
Secret Service.
That's what I was thinking. Torpedo Alley. That is out of left field.
Yeah, that game's.
What do the
very
flippers say on Secret Service? Don't they say something? Punisher or something? Or
Pulverizer.
Pulverizer.
That's it. That's it.
The one I had too was it was a prototype or a sample game or something. It had some weird different shit on it.
Of course,
it's kind of interesting. But we had like it has that thing that comes up in the middle and it actually said like radar jammer on it instead of just being like a plastic.
Hmm. Like in between the flippers. You're
saying?
Like, well, like big guns and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. But it actually said like radar jammer or something on
that's
it.
Kinda cool.
That's cool.
Instead of just being.
So speaking of prototypes, whenever I was looking through the list of Data East games to make my selection, I was astounded by how many prototype or custom build games there were off of Data East.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a prototype for Mad Magazine where there was just one produced. There was a King Kong that was produced.
I've always heard interesting things about that one. I've read a few things about that.
I've read some things about it, and I've heard that it's been around at shows before.
Yeah.
I would definitely would love to run into
it
at a show.
Agreed.
And then there was a custom build of 3 for Aaron Spelling and his children, which I thought was just absolutely
insane,
bizarre.
Who's Aaron Spelling?
Big time like TV producer.
He's like 90210.
Beverly
Melrose.
Hills 90210.
Oh, okay. I don't like his.
Yeah.
And then just a ton of re-themes, too. So there was a Total Recall prototype, which, you know, you have Arnold right in the middle of the back.
This is the time they're trying anything. I mean, we're just trying to stay, they're trying to stay alive, right?
Just do whatever you can.
And I know Joe Kamenkow was very involved at that time, so I'm sure he's just like, anywhere you can make
like,
a
I'm
dollar.
Just glancing over his shoulder.
But this is the same time as, like,
some
Adam's,
of those are early years, too.
Some
because,
of the stuff
I mean,
is, like, Adam's Family and stuff range,
time machine
though. Like,
Whitewater, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Total Recall, 1990.
Yeah.
King Kong, 1990. So, yeah. I mean, that's...
Valley
right
Williams was just
time.
Putting out such bangers at that time.
Right,
that's
right.
The problem.
I think that's the discussion we've had before about Data
is,
East and Gottlieb,
this
though, is like you can't compare them apples
to apples.
We're supposed
to love them, Corbin.
Sorry.
It's a love them
we're
episode.
We're not
right?
helping the... Okay.
All right, so Corbin, what is your pick? What is your Data East?
So if I'm walking down the line, I would say Hook. Hook is always... I love Hook. I do love a Hook. Or I love the Jurassic Park, the Data East Jurassic
Park. Yeah,
I'm saying
one.
If I see one of those, I'm definitely guaranteed to put a you know 50 cents a dollar into one of those.
Yeah. It's a bore.
I think other than that, I mean, there are some fun games. They have good. They have good. They had good themes.
The themes were there.
The themes were
Tales
there.
From the Crypt was fun when we had that for a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
yes. You used to have one of those. I remember playing as a kid, even.
Yeah. Tommy's fun.
Tales from the Crypt's hard.
Tales from the Crypt is hard.
That ramp is like impossible.
Does Don still have it? Did he sell it?
He still has it. He still has that and Wipeout. Because Wipeout is high on my radar.
I'd like to get
from him whenever he's ready to move off of it. All right, Zach, what's your Data East pick?
I like Star Wars because the artwork is awesome.
Very iconic.
Yeah, and then Tommy also, it has cool features how with the mirror drops down and the blindfold flips
Blinder.
Out in front of the flippers.
Yeah.
Some neat mechs.
So, everyone, that was a good 5 minutes of us giving Data East props and love. So, email.
So, what's their worst game?
Ooh.
Fucking Ninja Turtles. Fuck that game.
No, Ninja Turtles isn't the worst.
It's bad.
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Lethal Weapon 3.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. We had two of those at one point, too.
Whenever you had that on location and at the same spot for a minute, you had Terminator, which are basically the exact same layout. Yeah. And I would get put on those games back to back. I just wanted to punch you in your
face, but yeah.
Not a huge fan of.
I sold one of those back when I didn't sell any games. I was like, are you got any games for him? I'm like, I do, Lethal Weapon 3.
It's coded in a cool way, though, because sure. I do love the interactivity of you get into a video mode or whatever, and now you have to use the gun for certain things.
Okay, Star Wars is the same way, and Jurassic Park.
Well, yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just another cool little interactive feature.
I always thought Daddy East Guns N' Roses was pretty cool because it has...
I do like that one, too.
Well,
and it's a wide body.
And it has it's a song.
It's the only Daddy East wide body?
It has a song that's Guns N' Roses that only, is only yes. for that game, which is I think really is
so
cool.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Cool.
Well, we were talking about this.
In this day and age, we can just download it, but then you actually had to go play the game
I dig
to
that.
Hear that
I think
track,
that's so cool.
Which is cool.
Well, I mean, that's interesting on the JJP version, too, is if you have it on adult mode, you get all of the songs. If you have it on non-explicit mode, so like family-friendly, then you just don't get like half of the songs because it's like... They aren't going to censor them whatsoever. It's like either you get the songs
that's
or you don't.
Admirable.
Did
I'm
I talk
not like bleep it out or anything like Rick and Morty on?
It's like either you're getting friendly. It or you're not.
Did I tell you about the mode I got into on that one when I was we were testing them or whatever, and it went into like it was like War Games or whatever.
That was cool.
That sounds so cool. Yeah,
it went into like I was just playing it and it like the game shuts down. I was like, oh, is it not working or whatever? And then
I just lose 5
like,
volt.
It like you know. Gone. It goes, goes like a little squiggly, and then it comes up in like War Game, like the movie, you know, finally like want to play a game. Then you start launching missiles at like China or whatever.
Huh.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I was like, whoa, I actually like this game right now.
Yeah.
At the pricing where you can get a GNRLE now, it makes it much more attractive.
I had never played an LE.
I'm not a super Jersey Jack guy, but wasn't that one of the releases that had like a really bad play field? Issue.
Yeah, so
like,
they had pooling issues on
there.
Like
they were just chipping and breaking.
I would hope by now, though, the new ones that are coming out, I would think are probably.
I would assume.
I'd hope they have it under control, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
or they had the washers at least.
Correct. Yeah. Because I think we talked about it briefly before. It wasn't really that the clear coat or the play field itself was the problem. It was that they had drilled the holes for the posts too big, the diameter too much. So then whenever you hit a post, it's pushing against it. It's pushing.
It has movement.
And it has movement.
Whereas, like, traditionally, those are pretty tight in there.
Right.
So by adding those washers, it snugged it up. So now whenever it hits
those
posts.
You just, like, send out a sleeve. You just pound in around the post. But, you know,
that's
I'm not an engineer.
You want people. I would not. Do you want people smacking around on a play field? Think
what?
About that.
Yeah.
Trying to
tap these people
in sleeves. You want people trying to do that.
Yeah. I guess they're not us.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We could do it. Yes. Yeah, we could. But I'm saying, like, you want. Look at Jeff over here. He wouldn't.
So
Jeff fucking just broke something.
So Data East GNR, we were talking about this pre-podcast, is one of a handful of games we could think of that has the
Double
additional
plunger. I kind of want one of those.
So Data East GNR, Roadshow has a second one.
Funhouse
has a second one. And what I don't think between the four of us we could think of another one. So dear listeners.
I feel like there is, but I don't know.
If there are other games out there with double plungers, email us, Zach, at
freshpinball@gmail.com.
Because we'd love to hear about it. So next topic was after the Whitewater episode, someone asked why the Whitewater topper can't be reproduced. And I didn't know the answer to this question. And I know Corbin knows a little bit more about this than I do. So Corbin, what is the little bit that you know about?
Okay, from what I remember reading about it, it's the material in the middle, like the foil.
Right.
And so, like, it's a combination of this special foil and the pattern of the lights. Lights are easy to recreate. It's the foil. Some kind of,
right.
I think it's like a chemical that's possibly not
probably
legal
banned.
Like, we were talking about it a little bit, but
yeah,
it was like,
I don't think it's
what
available.
What if it's
anymore.
Like, it's like asbestos with like mercury on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's something like that mixed like, together. Yeah. And
coated in
to
lead.
Like,
yeah.
And I do, I thought there was
makes
like,
it shimmer.
I thought somebody found like a closet full of them a couple of years ago and like some were folded, but they still were like selling for a bunch of money. Some goofy story about that, but. Yeah, I think it's the chemical in the foil.
It's like the diamond plating on the play fields.
Oh, we can't do it. It's not safe.
Well, the rumor I'd heard about diamond plating was that they stopped doing it because games were lasting too long.
I'm
on route.
I can attest our games that have diamond plating on them are still today look stupid good. Like Hurricane, you're like, oh my God, this thing looks good. You just wipe it down, it looks good. Diner looks good.
Yep.
Doctor Who.
Yep.
Because you put like Funhouse next to one of those, and
it's
like,
it's
man, this game is ripped.
Funhouse is rough. Yeah, we got to do some of that. But yeah,
or a new stern.
So I think it is something with the chemicals in the foil, though. Back to what we were talking about, I think it's something to do with that. And then, like we had said with the scratch build, that is the one thing that I would say is just a little different. It's a very cool effect still. It's just different, but it's not the same like effect that it looks like it's water is cascading over the top of that topper.
So I was talking to the builder of our whitewater the other day, and in exciting news, get the sounder here, Kyle. He is building two more scratch build whitewaters.
Really?
And possibly might want to be trading one of the two in on a Jaws in the future. So I'm wondering now what.
He's just going to keep. Tell him to build us something else.
Yeah, right?
well, he's got that one down.
Exactly. So exactly. Is like, he knows exactly what to do, all the parts.
I did
all the
finally
everything.
Get to go to Corbin's and play the whitewater.
And
my God, it was beautiful.
So smooth.
Insane.
Buttery
like,
smooth.
We opened it out and I'm just like, dude, this is insane. Like, it's a brand new game.
It is.
I would say better than a brand new game. Yeah. Like, everything is.
Well, what's the value on that? Like, what? I don't even know. What is his? What is he?
So, I'd seen like high end restorations at like the 12 to 13K range. Now, obviously, the market's, you know, slowed down a little bit, but even at 10 plus.
I think it's worth it, that game. Yeah. I mean, because you're buying. It's unlike any other whitewater that I have ever played or I will ever. I mean, even if we found. Like up in a container somewhere, a brand new inbox
with
water.
Not be that nice.
It would not play that good. No, it would not be that nice. Way. That stuff been. I mean, partially because stuff's been sitting for 20.
Well, I mean, it's
years
not
going to
be LED. 30 it's not going to have the better rubbers. Yeah. It's not going to have
color display.
It's not going to have
the new
backlash.
Norman fur. Norman.
It's not going to have that custom.
And I like
Norman
the rad cows. I'm going to consider doing those in things because I think they look good.
Yeah, they look great.
Whole thing. This looks good.
Yeah. Anyway.
So next item, Corbin had texted me the other day or text the group and said that pinball should be in the actual Olympics.
I was watching the trials the other night and I was like.
So I'm not totally against this idea, but I'm just wondering how a pinball athlete would be looked at compared to all of the other Olympians.
We saw the pinball athletes at Pinball Olympics.
Yeah, it might be best just at Pinball Olympics. I thought about it before, but.
Upon further review, maybe pinball shouldn't be in the actual Olympics.
I was like, I'd like to watch some more pinball in the Olympics.
Well, I do feel like pinball on TV, like commentated the correct way, like in an entertaining way, could be on the same level as World Series of Poker or something like that.
Yeah.
I've always thought
ESPN 8, the Ocho. Is that what you're thinking?
Dodgeball.
Speaking of which, I saw it's like the 20-something anniversary of Dodgeball, which made me feel incredibly old. So I saw an interview with Justin Long where he said that he was actually concussed during part of one of the scenes where they were throwing things at him.
They threw a fucking wrench at him.
Yeah. But it wasn't a real wrench.
You
it was still
wrench,
like
you dodge ball.
No, see, they accidentally put a real wrench in there.
Accidentally put a real wrench in there. I just don't even understand how these things happen.
Slipped right in.
So are we going to get a dodgeball too? Like, is that what we're teasing here? What's happening? I need to know.
Nope.
Yeah, can't recapture that magic.
Sometimes it's best just to. You gotta
let it go. So one of our Rochester, New York listeners had mentioned that the church place that you and I had visited is called the Playhouse / Swill Burger. And that was the one
right,
that
we ate the burger there. Yeah.
We were comparing to Holy Moly. And that's one of their go-to spots there. So that is called shout out there to the Playhouse.
It's a cool spot. It's a very cool spot.
Great spot.
Yeah, and it just the only very cool spot. They had a lot of of the good stuff.
It just lost the church vibe.
It just didn't feel like a church. That's the only thing.
Was our point.
Yeah.
One of our Toledo listeners wanted to let us know that another cool feature of visiting Tony Paco's for their signature hot dogs and Hungarian food is that every location has hot dog buns on the walls that are signed by celebrities that have visited Tony Paco's.
What? Really?
How did I miss?
What are they on like at? Little shelves? Like how do they preserve
in
them?
Cases?
Are they? Is it? Are they moldy?
They like a Tony Paco's, like,
if they're not moldy, are we concerned?
These, like,
what the? What the hell?
So it's like
I don't
Luigi's in Akron, and you go and you have like all the little like photos of everyone that are signed. Instead of the photos, it's hot dog buns that are signed by famous people who have visited Tony Paco's.
That's interesting.
These aren't real hot dog buns, are they?
I don't know.
My
they
mind.
Can't be.
My mind is blown. How did you not see that?
I must have been focused on the food, Kyle. I don't know.
Well,
a little bit hungry.
A lot, so.
As usual.
So, I don't know. Toledo people or people that are visiting the area, check
out
Tony Pacas.
Toledo and check this out.
I feel like
for some reason we got to go there.
As the Fresh Pinball Podcast, how were we not asked to sign a hot dog bun? Like, do you need to identify yourself ahead of time?
They didn't know who we were.
You have to bring your own bun.
It's a voice thing. They would have been like two or three of us together. They would have been like.
Here's the problem. We didn't have Corbin with us. He's the one that always gets recognized.
It was me and Jeff were there, so.
Tank the dog.
Quiet down back there, boy.
Settle down now.
So I had another message that apparently on multiple...
Who? People are messaging us about this podcast?
This is kind of crazy.
Dude.
Okay, sorry.
That on many episodes, Kyle has said that he sucks at pinball.
I do.
He says something along the lines of, I suck at pinball. You guys know this.
Right.
And I wanted to harken back to a time whenever Kyle and I were playing in the same league, and it got down to the finals, and it was one game of Stern Godzilla Premium, winner takes it all.
And Jeff has one at his house.
And
he had one. He had one at the time.
That's what I'm saying. He still has one.
Shit out of it.
We're playing a three-ball game. We're playing extra balls if you got them.
Who'd play a five-ball?
Oh, I'm just saying, three-ball game like you do.
Yeah.
Painting the picture here. I believe that I was second player. I had the better position. And Kyle puts up a great ball one. I put up a shitty ball one. Kyle does a great ball two. I have a terrible ball two. Kyle has not a great ball three, and I have a great ball three. I'm coming back. I'm roaring back. Kyle beats me on the extra ball and celebrates the championship.
I won.
Bum, ba-da-dum, bum, bum.
Yay.
So Kyle beat another shitty pinball player to win the league. But
did somebody actually ask you that?
They didn't ask. They said Kyle says on many episodes that I'm not a great pinball player.
No, I'm shitty.
You guys know this.
I can't even play Jaws. Like, it's disappointing to me. It's like I'm awful at this game.
It's basement.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding, dude.
Everybody on the internet's like, oh, you know, I got my build marked today, my two bill. I'm like, dude, I can't break 400,000 on that thing.
It's a butt kicker.
It is.
So
I also don't have my game set up easy.
No,
by any
I mean, that's no fun. That's no fun. So the penny toss from Vintage Flipper World, I looked into that. It is called Lucky Penny Sweepstakes. That's the actual name of the game. It was built by a company that built zero other games other than that game.
I was going to say Wyco or something.
Yeah. So I think our opportunity to recreate this in another...
It's open. Let's do it.
I think this is something like Arse would be
takes,
a great winter project.
I think it'd be pretty easy to do.
I'm kind of
ours just takes Susan B. Anthony. So
I'm very very
yes dollar coins,
dollar coins for sure.
I just think that we need to set the regulations now on this game. I think immediately, you know, like you go
trademark
to play,
first.
You go to well, you go to play darts, and you know, here's the line for darts.
Oh yes, yeah.
We need to establish the rules.
So we're gonna have to build our prototype.
I think it's like 10 foot.
Experimenting
though.
10 foot,
8 to 10.
Away from the thing. You're tossing the pennies.
Oh,
you're like 10 foot?
No. Same
like,
size as the one we saw.
Like tall, dude. Like, no, we can make it real slender
and nice.
And,
real slender. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think the one there was probably about 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then we were standing back about 15 feet.
But it had an obnoxiously amount of space that it took up for no reason,
right,
where it could have taken up a lot.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it can't tip over, so it just has to have a good stable footprint at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And then, I mean, how many pennies or quarters or tokens should each player start with? Are we starting with 10, and that's how many? Are we
dollar
doing
coins
15?
And 10 each.
Dollar
yes.
coins.
$50
Tell me more, Mr. Operator. No, everybody should be throwing $20 bills into this.
Well, no, I mean, you would think it would have to be...
Technically, you just have to, like...
I think you'd want, like, seven rounds. I mean, 10
Well, I mean, we'd
10?
Have to figure out how many...
How many times is the horse click, you know?
Right.
So, like, you got
to five through the top, three through the middle, one through the bottom for a total of 20 spaces to make a lap.
Right. And how many spaces is on the
I'm
board?
I'm thinking,
so.
Like, 15 coins each player gets, because you want to have the same number of coins for each person, or else
but
one person
also,
just spamming it as fast as possible.
Right, but you also want somebody to win.
Oh, of course.
You know, you want somebody to get over the finish line, so you have to give enough, even for a
Because if you had four fives...
you're done. You've done it. You've crossed the finish line.
This is happening. Live action. Somebody spilled a beer on Pulp Fiction at quarter up.
Ooh.
And now the right flipper is sticky.
Looks like we're pulling it.
Animals. It's coming back home.
There's a cup holder on your pinball. Anyway. Use it, people.
Jesus. PSA. Use your cup holders, people. No drinks on the glass.
This is why we can't nice things.
This is why we can't have
That is a brand new button. I put it in there yesterday.
I'm sorry to break that.
Anyway.
Did I break it?
No.
So on to the next little fact check item here. I just want to give a shout out to Jack Danger, Dead Flip. We know you're listening, Jack. There's no coincidence that right after we talk in depth about Nine Sisters, Kyle talks about it in depth, that you just happen to post about that game. We just want a little bit credit whenever you create your next game of, you know.
With one flipper in the middle. And
you can just see Gary Stern's head explode right now.
I just don't think we can do it, Jack.
So during the last episode.
We're gonna have to
let you go. Yeah, right. Corbin had mentioned from VFW Mars Trek, a 1977 Sonic release, as a game that spoke to him.
Cool game.
And I remember my first trip to Seattle. Me and the fam fly in, late night flight, land at like 10 o'clock, grab an Uber to the hotel, and I'm like, all right, you guys are going to bed. I'm going to go out and hit one pin bar, one. So I grab myself the little, you know, kick scooter, and I scan myself in, and I'm headed to the Ray Gun Lounge.
Whee!
Yeah, in Seattle.
Whee!
And I get there, and I think they had somewhere in the range of like a dozen games or so. Yeah. A bunch of Sterns, you know, some 90s Bally Williams, and all of a sudden, I see in the row a Mars Trek.
Really?
Order a game.
Oh, nice.
Spent like a good 45 minutes on
it. I was
going to
say, what time do bars close in Washington State?
It was.
It could have been when you left then.
My dream. But that's when I fell in love with that game. And then also VFW related news, the game that Zach was referring to as one of his takeaways is 1980 Gottlieb Timeline. I'll post up some pictures of that on the social media. It is a Dimension 80. You plunge into basically like a small encapsulated little playfield area with some drop targets. It's timed to where you can only be in that area for so long.
I bet one of those Dimension 80s has a double plunger.
Because they're super wide bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
They are.
Just thinking about the double plunger situation.
This one makes me laugh. So someone heard Corbin say, quote, typical Mustang behavior. and they'd like to know, Corbin, what exactly you meant by...
Maybe Tank the dog.
I think Tank should tell his Mustang story.
I do. Which one?
I don't know. About him wrecking one?
The recent one
that he just watched.
Oh, we didn't talk about that on here?
We didn't because Tank wasn't here. Post-VFW, Tank and Angelica were kind enough to go and pick up some pizzas for us.
You guys were going to Papa John's, right? Wasn't it Papa John's?
It was some localish place.
It was called Papa John's, though.
I don't remember. But
we're getting pizza.
We collect the pizza. We're coming back. Here we are.
Hold on, let me translate this to somebody.
Here we are. We're sitting at a traffic light, and this little Beamer and this Mustang are first in line, and the Beamer starts revving its engine, and the Mustang starts revving its engine, and then the light turns
only
green.
Only one way this is going to go down.
The light turns green, the Beamer takes off, the Mustang, it doesn't take off. It kind of goes to the left. It goes to the right, it gains traction, it starts to go, it gets out to the Beamer, bounces off it, spins over the sidewalk, through a fence, into a tree.
Typical Mustang behavior.
Typical Mustang behavior.
If you've been on Instagram or YouTube,
that's what it looks like.
It was one of those. I couldn't believe it happened.
We're in the middle of downtown Lansing, Michigan.
Yes.
It's gotta happen somewhere. It happens everywhere, not somewhere.
The Beamer pulls over. They go running towards the Mustang.
Mustang's pulling next to me. I'm just like, better be careful.
Who knows what they might do?
Dude, you just gotta be like,
couldn't believe it happened.
You know how to drive that thing?
Typical Mustang behavior.
And it's only slightly ironic that it wrecked into a
BMW. Yeah. Typical BMW behavior.
Watch not his turn signal on.
You know what BMW stands for.
Definitely needed to bring that up. So
probably cleared that up.
We did have the Unhitched event, which went off with some resounding results there. That was, Corbin had called it out as having some top-notch pinball, some top-notch food.
Those tacos were real good.
There we go. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what are the best tacos you've ever had.
Oh, we could be here at this for a while.
Just one. Best just tacos. One.
All right, so Mary Beth and I were in... somewhere south. Where was it? Hilton Head?
Okay.
And we went to, not trying to sound, you know, racist or anything, but there was a bunch of Roofers fans parked out front of this place.
Yeah, that's where you want to go.
Exactly. And we walk in there, and we were the only white people in this whole place. Yes. And the tacos were $1 a piece, and literally, they were the best ones I've ever had. And it was a simple meat, cilantro, onion.
Basic.
A little bit of sauce.
Mm-hmm. That's the best. Mm. Had a very similar situation I was in.
Pinball Olympics were pretty good, though, too.
Oh, yeah. But those were authentic, too.
Those were, too. Pretty good, Corbin, and then the tacos I had yesterday for lunch.
Yeah, both
good.
Times.
Both Corbin, times. Across from the education store, those are real good, too.
But mine was a similar situation. I was going from Dallas-Fort Worth up to Oklahoma City, and I'm in Oklahoma City, and I see all of these, you know, vans and trucks with ladders on the roof and whatever else. And totally. I go in, and literally the menu and everything is completely in Spanish. I do not speak or read Spanish fluently. So I get out my phone and I use the old Google Translate, and I order literally just like a basic 3-pack of tacos. And it was unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable.
So good.
Kyle?
I don't know. I've had some good tacos.
I know, right, dude?
Tongue tacos. Delicious. Mmm. I'm going to have to pass for a second. Corbin?
Okay. Corbin?
You know, this is a real tough question. I'm just going to go with tacos I had last week across the street from the education store. They're pretty good.
See, now that you guys have been teasing those, I feel like I need to hit that up.
We'll get them tomorrow for lunch.
Perfect. Perfect.
We'll get them tomorrow for lunch.
I do believe the place.
Just as I remember it most frequently. But
in Dover, Ohio.
Pinball Olympics was good, too.
Pinball Olympics, they were good.
They were real good tacos.
But in Dover, Ohio, there's a taco... I don't know. But it's a taco truck next to a gas station that isn't a gas station anymore. But you can go in there and eat your tacos. Pretty good.
I think the takeaway from this, with tacos or pretty much with anything else, is when you go authentic, that's when you're going to get.
You got
to
find the random spots.
Bus tacos, though, too, are usually pretty good.
Bus tacos are good. There used to be a taco truck behind the laundromat in...
Under the bridge.
No, freaking Oroville.
Dude, I even will eat some Taco Bell tacos from time to time.
I was real sad last time I went there.
Except for they got rid of the quesarito.
No tacos left behind. I love going to Taco Town.
Or quesadilla? No, the quesarito. Yeah, they got rid of the quesarito. It's bullshit.
So here's my thing, is once I get west of the Rockies, I'm all about the Del Taco.
Yeah.
So as soon as my plane lands anywhere out there, it's like, all right, where is the nearest Del Taco? Yeah.
They don't mess around with those.
They do not.
Those are good.
So, final note on the Unhitched event: $1 pitchers of beer. Mm-hmm. That was a curveball that I was not expecting. Whenever we got there,
they do it on Saturdays, and it's one per table or per person,
Still phenomenal.
A good deal.
Do something else. We don't have anything scheduled, do we, with them?
Nothing with them. We have John Wick launch party coming up at Quarter Up.
Yeah, I think next month.
We have that coming up on the books, but Kyle, you just finished a truck stop. Let's talk about this truck.
Look good, dude.
So this was the infamous truck stop that was at the Cleveland Gaming Classic
that you literally pulled from someone's basement. Right. You're like, make sure this thing works. And I'm like, all right. We lift the play field. Me and Corbin were looking at it. I'm like, oh, that Gorilla Glued link's going to probably hold up. It did.
And it did.
It did.
What other sort of tomfoolery did you find in it whenever you were going through it? It looked like the previous
classic. I mean, honestly, that was it.
MDF cabinet, Bally era.
Yeah, and honestly, that was it. I think the game was untouched. I mean, I scrubbed for a while to make that thing look nice.
And shiny. But yeah, that thing turned out nice. You put all new cabinet art on it, inner art blades, LED'd it up.
Yeah.
And being a,
new home.
Being a professional painter, it was a... real rough, like putting those things on. So I'm just like, God, MDF, you're never making it look good.
Yeah. It looked about a thousand times better than it did before.
Yeah.
I think we got another surprise for you to take home soon.
Oh.
Kyle and I have already been talking about his next project. Okay.
Are you excited?
It better be light. It better be light.
It's a little game called Boomerang.
Does it work?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I think you said the flippers, either the EOS or the cabinet switch. So, I mean,
I don't know if I can figure that out.
I think.
Okay. All right.
I can come over and help. We can hold hands and do it together.
Oh, that sounds fun.
We'll just replace all the contacts.
Yeah. A little date.
All right, so final fact check item here is AIQ Pro is now in Canton, Ohio at Plant et Art. It's set up. It's insider connected. It's $1 a play.
Fulton and Cottage.
That's right. Stop on in. Get yourself some souvenirs.
She's on vacation for the next 2 weeks, though. Sorry, just wanted to put that out there.
If you happen to stop by while Corbin is out front watering the plants, I'll probably let you in and let you play a game on the house. But
tell it I said hi.
If you're coming in for the Hall of Fame festival or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's like a mile from all that jazz.
Definitely. Yeah. By Taggart's. Get yourself some ice cream.
Taggart's.
Taggart's.
We went to Taggart's the other night so we tried to go to the Ribs Burn Off. But they shut it down. I think it was on Saturday. Whatever night it was storming, they ended up shutting it down early.
It barely rained.
I guess it was
lightning.
It was coming down to here, like over here.
9, and we got there like 7:30, and they shut it down. And we're like, oh, what the hell? So we went. We tried to go to Milk and Honey, and they closed at 8. And then we're like, Taggart's is open until 10. So we go. It was bumping.
Oh, yeah.
On a Sunday. It was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday at like 8:30.
Oh, nice. Because they're the only ones open.
Yeah.
Taggart's and Haggie's, they both can still crank.
Yeah. Like, Haggie's all day, dude.
Yeah. Cash money only.
Right.
Have we talked about anything really? We talked about some pinball. We're like half an hour in.
I played half a game of pinball today.
I prefer we talk about food.
Taco trucks.
Tacos.
So last episode, I talked in depth about trying to wish and hope into existence of getting John Norris on this podcast.
Yeah,
so from then till now, my whole purpose in life has been getting John Norris on the podcast. So I reach out to him through Messenger and like, hey, you know, you've commented on some of our stuff before. We've had a little bit of a Discord and a back and forth.
By Messenger, he means he like showed up like outside his house and acted like a messenger.
Real creepy.
I mean, that's the way you do it, right?
Jeff.
Yeah. Anyway.
You just hold up signs.
I thought we told you about that.
Outside their bedroom window.
Did you have a boombox above your head?
Sorry, go on.
And I'm like, hey, you know, this is the podcast we do. Here's a link to it. You know, we'd really love to talk to you about, you know, your career and the games that you've created and everything else. And immediately got a resounding, absolutely not. I'm like, oh, okay, so, you know, what's the stopping point here? And he's like, well, you know, I'm really probably trying to get back into pinball design, and I'm afraid that I would say something that might prohibit that or might hurt me.
Doesn't he know we're in? People listen to us. They can get him back in.
So I'm like, yeah, no big deal. You know, how about instead of you coming on the podcast, I send you some questions, and then you can just answer the questions, you know, that you're going to have time to make sure that you're not saying anything that you don't want to say. You're not going to be caught up in the moment. And he's like, no, probably not. I've promised two other podcasts that whenever I do a podcast, it'll be theirs. I'll go to them first. I'm like, so who are these two people? And he's like, well, Chris Caneda and Jeff Teolis. All right, cool. You know, well, what if I get their permission for you to answer these questions? Would you be okay with that then?
Just persistent.
Man, Jeff, you've been working real hard at this.
I don't give up easily.
No.
Oh, geez.
Like, dude, go away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that's what he's thinking. So I'm like, he's like, yeah, that would be fine. Like, if they give permission.
Written permission.
So
Jeff gets it.
I know Chris Caneda a little bit. So I text him. I'm like, hey, here's the situation. Would you be cool with that? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Sends me a text confirming. All good. So then I don't know Jeff Teolis. I'm not aware of his presence and whatnot, but apparently he's big into the pinball community.
Yeah.
I find him on Facebook Messenger. I message him and find out. And find him on Messenger and ask him the exact same thing that I asked Chris. And he said, yeah, absolutely. I'd love for John to get himself back out there and be present and whatever else. So I screenshot both of these things from these gentlemen, send it over to Mr. Norris. And he's like, okay, you have permission. Go ahead and put together the questions and then I will answer them. So at this point, I've put together a few questions. Kyle, Corbin, and Zach are going to put together a few questions. But I'm also want to ask the listeners,
yeah,
can you guys put together a couple questions? What would you like to know from John Norris? I'd like to try to keep it to his Gottlieb days, so like 1988 all the way through. Let's see, when did he finish up? So Brooks and Dunn was 1996, so 88 to 96. So that's Brooks and Dunn.
What, there's like three Brooks and Dunns or something? Isn't
it,
there?
It says one produced, but I know there are a few that are out there.
I know, I've probably seen the same one multiple times.
Because Mike Pasek has one he brings around.
Yeah.
And then I know one of the guys, Brooks or Dunn, I'm not sure which one. I'm not super
It's
country
Johnson,
music
it's
guy.
The drummer. He it's has Johnson. One. Yeah.
Has one at his house. But Brooks and Dunn, Barbed Wire, Mario Andretti, Strikes and Spares, Waterworld, Big Hurt, Stargate, Shack Attack, Freddy, Rescue 911, all of those games I would like.
I've been entertaining with Strikes and Spares in the basement.
Strikes and Spares is a good party game.
Yeah.
Dude, there's one in Columbus like a couple years ago.
It has
like
those big-ass fucking balls in it. Yes. Yeah.
I would like to get one of those.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
I think it'd be cool.
Have you guys seen the re-theme of Strikes and Spares that people have done to Lebowski?
Oh, yeah, that sounds cool.
And there's like an audio file and whatnot that has special call-outs and whatnot. So out at Birdfish Brewing in Columbiana, Ohio, they participate in a big Lebowski festival out there. It's part at the brewery, at the bowling alley, and at the movie theater. And Keith Campanelli has one of those re-themes, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
So cool. Oh, we got to put that topper on tomorrow.
Half tempted. Yes. It's Bourdain Day on Sunday out there.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll feast.
I love me some Birdfish. So, John Norris, get your questions to us. I'm really excited to talk about, you know, to get these questions in front of him and see, you know, what are the insights, what's the story behind all of this stuff? Because there are just so many.
He lived through a very interesting time, like his period that he was involved. It'd be very interesting for him now to get back in. And to hear the differences, I think it'd be a whole different world.
Because you look at his beginnings at Gottlieb, you know, Diamond Lady, Robo War, Excalibur, like those are all just, you know, unlicensed whatever.
They were like short time frame too. They were just like throw together, get something out.
And then you get into the time, you know, where then...
Is he credited on design on all of them?
So mostly game design, a little bit of software, but for the majority it's game design. But then
sometimes it can be mechanics or something.
Oh, yeah. But then you get into the time that they start getting licenses like Super Mario Brothers, Street Fighter II. You know, you had a Freddy, Kyle, for a bit of time.
Dodge Viper.
That was actually Sega, but yeah, because he's into the Sega era where you're talking about X-Files. He was on software. Viper Night Drive, and he was on software.
Yeah, he was on software. There he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all the way up to the transition from Sega to Stern, he was on concept game design and mechanics on High Roller Casino.
High Roller.
Since we're talking about
the other day, I was half tempted.
Which one?
A High Roller.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Sega, let's talk about Sega Japan.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, so how did we get on this?
All right, so at the machine shop, I get people find out that we, you know, do the pinball stuff here, and they're like, I got this Japanese pinball that needs repair. I'm like, well, really? What is it? And he just kept like, oh, I'm not sure. This. It turns out it was a Chinko machine.
Oh, Plachinko.
Right. So I'm like,
That's what they always are when they're like, I have a pinball. It hangs on the wall. It's like,
It's like, okay. But so then Corbin and I were talking about it, and it got us wondering did Japan ever make any pinballs? So I did some Googling, and it turns out they did. So Sega of Japan made 25 pinball, different titles total from 71 to 79. The first nine of them were EM and the rest were solid state. And it seems pretty interesting. Then Jeff told me out at Pastimes they have one of those actual ones out there.
So during the lead up to the opening of Pastimes, Mike Hale would do on a regular basis, and it was a really cool feature of this game just showed up. It's wrapped up. He didn't really always know what was wrapped up, and he would open it up and set it up. And one of them was one of the Sega games from Japan. And
that was a really cool segment. I enjoyed watching it.
I enjoyed watching that a lot.
I also just find it fascinating that they just have that Rob Burke just has all these games that he's just like, I don't even know. Who knows? Who knows what it, you don't, we have no idea what it's going to be.
Because that's literally what it felt like. He would have sometimes one game or three games, like completely.
World record holding.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. Congrats to that.
That is a big time shout out.
And so he also had to have all those on legs. Like they had to have pictures of them all. So I thought that
they had to be on legs. They had to be set up and they didn't count any duplicate titles. So apparently he had a lot of like maybe another 600 games or something that were duplicates of other games he has. Because Rob, during like his heyday of collecting, would be when reimports were coming back in. We're buying multiple containers of reimports. Yeah. So I mean, you might get a container that's just full of Atoms and Twilight Zone and whatever else.
Can you still get containers?
You can, but they're much more expensive.
I always hear about people. I've never done it. I would like to just get one, maybe.
Have you ever seen the games when they stack them in there like cords of wood? I mean, they're not taking care of them like they're some sort of valuable items.
That's fine. Ugh. I don't know. It kind of intrigues me.
But yeah, Sega of Japan Pinball, definitely hop on the internet and check
the website
out.
You get to choose what country these containers are.
Pinballnews.com.
Because there were some interesting mechanics and features in those games, too.
The where it's EMs, like, yeah.
Where it was not, instead of like pop bumpers that were skirted and go up and down, like how we're traditionally used to, they actually went like side to side whenever they were activated.
And then like the coils underneath, they weren't like individual leaf springs. They were like a newer, like coil on a board, like you'd see on the boards and stuff.
We need to plan when my dad gets back from vacation. We need to plan. We all need to go out there.
Yeah, I thought about it for Father's
Day.
Yeah,
we
do. I've been out there in so long, but we all need to go out.
So we were invited for the 1 year anniversary party or whatever. And we had an event. I think that was the Unhitched Day.
Yeah.
So we couldn't go.
Damn, that would be cool. I want to go out there.
Yeah.
My dad needs, I want to get out there again. It's so cool.
They're just,
that horse it calls to me.
Yeah. Right. Whoa, Nelly. me really being into pinball like in depth for only a couple years, like I see things all the time that I'm sure is normal to you guys, but I'd seen a picture from inside of a Twilight Zone that the game wasn't set up with normal leaf spring flipper switches. Instead, there were actually like opto switches inside of it instead that were.
Oh, Jeff.
I know, like all of these things that I don't know that
you're
I see now.
Baby.
I am such a baby, but I'm like, wow. Like, I'm wondering why did that not catch on? Because that seems like.
They used that for a while.
And like, so for what games?
Like, whodunit has it? Like, all
90s Williams.
Most really?
Yeah. Scared Stiff.
So Scared Stiff has them.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
It was.
It has those weird pieces.
And so, the olds were white, and then the newer ones were
black.
Black, yeah. So if it has a white, it's original ones, but if they're
and you
black,
would never know the difference. Price. That's probably why you don't.
Yeah.
So they probably went away from them for cost purposes.
I mean,
it's a different manufacturer.
It's a whole other.
Except no, Chicago Gaming still does them.
Really?
Pulp Fiction has them.
Now it's covered in beer.
So interestingly enough, I replaced the button on the right flipper button itself on Pulp Fiction this week, the one that they just spilled beer on. So, I mean, I replaced it maybe less than 48 hours ago, but we're not going to talk about that.
And somehow I got blamed for it. And I played it like three times.
I'll give you, this one wasn't you this time.
God damn it, Kyle.
The armor was like tightened down, and so then it was like smashing it, made it kind of oblong. So I just like readjusted it all. It was just kind of weirdly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could have been for us moving it. Either way.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a new button in. But no, they have a screw in the end of it too, so that it's like super sensitive. Like it's like if you barely tap that, it breaks you out though.
Yeah. Huh.
So, all but these they things. Still do it.
It is super annoying.
But everyone
though.
Else
does Congo have it?
Congo, I think Congo
should.
Yeah, I think Congo would.
You need WBC to get that Congo 95.
Yeah. It's pretty much done. I just got to put the flipper bats back on.
I'm hungry for some Congo.
You're just sitting there staring at those bare metal pieces, aren't you?
Yeah, they drive me nuts.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Just to, I think
have Keith 3D print you something on top of it.
Keith, I could ask. Zach has a printer.
Our printer now.
And ooh, what about that guy up there who does all the Adam Lee? I saw on a forum he has some topper things that he has on his personal Congo, so I just need to like copy him.
Yes.
We just need to call
him.
He's
a super good dude.
Yeah, he's really nice.
He's invited us up several times and it's just never worked
because
out.
Because those they're just bare metal. Yeah. I should ask that Jared if he.
Oh, what he did, yeah.
What he has on his. He said he's never rebuilt his. He's like, dude, he's like, I saw you had yours. And then he's like, within a week, it's torn down. He's like, I've had mine for years. I've never done anything. He's like, I have all the parts. But then he said, it plays perfect, so that's why would thing. I?
If you're not
like,
having problems.
Yeah. Well, I was like, dude, if that one played perfect, I wouldn't have done shit. I'd be playing it right now.
Yeah.
But I should ask him what his is like.
We need to get into the Cook Inner Sanctum. I'm sure we could get that invitation. He has some interesting games.
Why don't we just invite him to like a Sunday thing or something?
We should. We definitely should.
And they do have some interesting games.
They do, because I know
they keep it. They keep like you keep hearing about other games they have, and you're like, what?
Alien was his first LCD game. They'd had a couple other modern games like TNA and Pulp Fiction. He got Alien from us.
Does he still?
The secrets.
Did he get the LV, the newer one?
He got the Ripley edition.
Oh, nice, nice.
That's the $8,000 deal, one. Man.
Is that, that original one was real weird.
So I had a standard edition for a while.
Was that the highway one still?
No, it was on the Pinball Bros platform, but man, getting that thing dialed in was
I came over and played it. I'm like, really?
These are Pulp Fiction.
It had 44s in the bulbs. On the start button, like anywhere that it didn't really matter, it was still a 44. I'm like, that's an odd choice.
That game is so cool, though. I love the design on that. I love you can use the start button like as an action button.
Yeah,
all kinds of good stuff that are involved with that game. But if you're looking for an Alien Ripley edition, email Corbin at madpinball.com and he'll get you hooked up. We can get some on the boat over from Italy. But back to John Norris briefly. Kyle, you'd sent me an ad down in Texas for a surfing safari, which you'd said, oh, man, you don't see that one very often.
How many were there?
2,000.
Oh, yeah.
2006, it says, surfing safaris, which is an oddly specific number.
Six, yeah.
We were talking about John, so I was like, hey.
Yeah, that's an interesting game that you don't see often with a strange translate.
You never know if somebody you know. Cactus Jack.
Well, that's the one previous to, also in 1991, is Cactus Jacks, which I need into this inner circle of stuff is a Cactus Jacks. But we were offered a car hop a while ago, and I said no. Yeah. We were offered a lights, camera, action a while ago, and I
don't know. I kind of like that game. I think it's fun. If it has that stupid topper on it, it's real fun.
I feel like you don't ever see the dogs
asleep and again. So,
Tank, what have you been playing in your basement lately? I forget those games are over there sometimes. We got to do some of the fast breaks.
Mm. Fast break.
Which one I play these days?
Fast break.
Just fast break.
Mm. What else you got down there? Doctor Who?
And,
Getaway, man.
The other ones.
Getaway.
Doctor Who doesn't get as much love. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
Getaway. Doctor Who.
I don't blame you. Mm.
The finger slicer.
Warning. Warning. Top glass has been removed.
But what about, so Gottlieb 1992 Operation Thunder. Has anyone at this table ever seen an Operation Thunder?
Is there not one?
That's not the ambulance one? That's Rescue 911.
No, yeah, this is the one, it looks like jet fighters or something. Operation Thunder. Game design, Ray Tanzer, and then John Norris on software. It's the big back box. It says there were 2,513 of them produced, and I've never seen that game. Numbers.
Is there any for sale? Let's just buy one.
Just buy one. Let's get one in.
Trade your
there's
Raven.
There's none for dude.
Jeff needs to see one. So
anybody want a Raven?
I want a Raven.
What was it that we were playing at VFW that was that era Gottlieb, and instead of having, they put different flippers in them or something with the flippers to where instead of going like straight up for ball holds, they were like normal flippers.
Oh, you can put like Bally Williams
it
and
changed
stops or
the
something.
Game
yeah, like they're playable
for
then.
The better, like amazingly.
You know, all I'm going to say is once again, you just put Bally Williams stuff on things.
Yeah, and then it works.
I was loving it. Loving it.
Yeah. I've never seen that game, though.
No, me neither.
Where did the 2,500 go? That's the real question. Where did they go?
Nobody knows.
Nobody
They could
knows.
Be anywhere.
Anyway, Kyle's...
Kyle was fixing my microphone. There was a little bit of...
53 minutes in, you know.
There was a malfunction.
A little bit of stuff going on. But anyway, I'm really interested to get these questions in front of Mr. Norris, see what his answers are, get some insight of, like, that time in pinball, what was going on at Gottlieb.
What's he doing now?
So he's teaching now. And he's been posting designs for Whitewoods of like, hey, this is a street level, whatever. For
I would
this
assume
thing.
He's like a electrical engineer or something.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So to get these questions in front of him about that time and, you know, see what his responses are. Obviously, since he won't be live on the podcast, we're going to do something a little interesting. We'll bring in a I'll ask the questions and then we'll have someone.
A studio actor
to reenact the answering of the question.
I don't know, maybe Keith or.
It could be in a Scottish accent, you know, a little bit of Shrek.
Yeah, so we can do that.
We can have multiple different characters.
Put them through AI. You know, we all know
fuck AI. Yeah,
so it should AI. It should be, it won't be Tom Cruise. It'll be definitely a good time.
Be Tom Hanks. We'll get Tom Hanks in for him.
We'll get Tank the dog back.
And then it just gets translated from there.
Do we know when Holy Moly's next league thing is?
I do not, but I will get some information on that. That's been a wild success down there. There have been a lot of people engaging with the games down there, people excited for it, ownership, players, all of that stuff. It's definitely been a huge win. There's some other things definitely coming up in the works, some meetings this week to get some more pinball out there in other spots in Ohio and the surrounding areas. But yeah, Sweets and Geeks, I know we're going to make our way out there and get some, ideally some DBAs on a few more of those machines.
Yeah.
That way more people can throw their dollar bills in there and have a good time. But yeah, all the good stuff. So we're just approaching the hour mark here. I think we've teased John Norris's appearance or lack thereof on the podcast enough. any final thoughts, Kyle?
As summer approaches and summer is here.
Yeah, what have you been playing this
isn't
summer?
Is the first day of summer.
I just want to remind everybody that when it's 98 degrees outside.
Bring your dog inside.
Bring your fucking dog inside or I'll send somebody to your house to do it for you. But also that, you know, your pinballs still need love in the summer. Even they though do. The pool and the motorcycles are going.
The lake, going Keith. The lake.
just don't forget to play your games.
Pinball needs loving too.
Don't play them. They don't.
Final thoughts, Zach?
You know, play better as normal.
Play better. Corbin, final thoughts?
No, not really. Just glad to hang out and, you know, talk some pinball.
I have two final things here.
Well, you get one, dude.
I've got two.
Well, Kyle's playing the music, so you better hurry up.
I'm not playing the
music.
He
only cuts me off. He doesn't cut you.
He only does it whenever Corbin's talking.
Yeah, Papa Jeff's fine.
So talking about me being a baby in pinball and whatever else, today is the 3-year anniversary of me, like, doing the whole posting on social media, location reviews, basically doing my best foe, Jason Knapp. Which all then turned into getting involved with Mad Pinball, which then got turned into sitting around this table with all of you fine gentlemen. So it's only
3 years.
It's felt like it's been much longer that I have known all of you fine gentlemen.
Get your alkaline water out here. Cheers, boys. Cheers.
My little pinball family here. So just wanted to mark that date today. Yeah, 2021, I visited a place up near Cleveland called High and Dry, and they had a fun house and a few other little pinball machines. And then for my 1-year anniversary, I did a little get together up there that Kyle attended. So all comes full circle. Final item here is everyone knows I've been looking for a Jetsons, but not looking to pay crazy Jetson prices. So I'm working a deal right now that could possibly bring a Jetsons into the fold. So stay tuned for that. Not the greatest game ever, but could, you know.
We need it for the collection.
I just can't believe. Here's the thing I can't believe is that you got that Rick and Morty and you're talking about selling it.
It's like, gone. What the heck? I was like, bring me that Rick and Morty.
Oh,
like,
it's not. It's not. It's gone. Going into my house.
Like, that's where it's going. I was about to
bring it. Zach and I were like, we're about to bring in Rick and Morty. He's like, you want to move that into your house tomorrow? I'm like, kind of.
Kind of want to move it into my house. The money's in the bank account. I just got to figure out logistics at this point.
Did he actually pay in full and it's ready to go?
I don't believe him.
It's actually paid for.
I don't believe him either. Send him a fucking.
Just put it in a box. Just put one box.
Send him a Venom.
Just send an empty box. That's what we do.
So now we don't have Rick and Morty. Now we're going to buy another.
Do
one.
We though? Do we need to?
I mean, for the collection.
For the collection.
Spooky I'll tell collection.
You what, Rick and Morty's a good an game. Man you don't today. Like Rick and Morty?
That's fine.
Ultraman, $4,800.
Well, I'm telling you, when Ultraman gets to
Three?
No, no, four is
1,500 bucks.
$4,800.
I want Rick and Morty over Ultraman.
Well, no shit, but we got to own them all, apparently, right? Got to catch them all.
Got to.
Got to catch them all.
We let Alice Cooper go. How'd that play out?
Yeah. That was Rick and Morty. That was a sad time.
Just keep sticking it in and breaking it off, Corbin.
There'll be another conversation where, man, I wish we still had Rick and Morty.
You're not wrong.
100% tank. 100%.
It could be a month. It could be
if you guys haven't noticed, I tend to like to try to like take games that Jeff shouldn't sell to my house, and then hope that he doesn't protect sell them.
He forgets he has.
And then, I had Alice Cooper, and
maybe I'll pivot.
I should just put a deposit on it and never paid him.
Maybe I'll
I'll still be sitting down there right now.
I'll pivot the buyer of Rick and Morty over to a Jaws premium because he's hot on a Jaws premium too.
Well, no shit,
it's your call, man.
That's a great game. Jaws premium's great.
All right, Kyle, cue up the Mad Pinball jingle here. If you need anything, email the new managing partner and director of Mad Pinball, Corbin Angeli, corbin@madpinball.com.
Good night, fellas.
You can always email jeff@madpinball.com as well.
Or freshpinball@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you have something cool that you want to sell us or trade us in, that's what we need.
We have a nine sisters. Please email us. I will take one.
Rotation eight.
Oh,
Rotation eight. How much?
Hit us up.
What else?
Theater of Magic.
I'd pay some money for a Rotation 8.
Tank the dog. Any last words?
Thank you, everyone, and good night.